Welcome to the Space Show, Kerry.
Nice to be here. Thanks, Andrew, for inviting me.
Okay. Anything else of interest that people would see visiting the space section at the Powerhouse Museum?
Well, of course, there are lots of interesting things of interest. I'm only just touching on a few. We do have a moon rock, a very nice lunar sample. It's actually from Apollo 16, and it was a piece picked up by Charlie Duke, I believe, at Plum Crater. Uh-huh. It's a very nice sample. It's about the size of an egg, so you know it's not one of these tiny little samples. It's a good size one.
And you know it's genuine.
Oh, yes. That's a don't get me started.
You've no doubt heard about the one in Holland recently that turned out not to be real.
Yes, well, the interesting thing with that, and perhaps a lot of people don't realise, is that that was never an official gift. Now, in fact, there's a lot of things about this that are a bit strange. The rock itself was a private gift from the US ambassador at the time to a former Prime Minister of the Netherlands. So he wasn't even Prime Minister at that time. So it's, NASA, of course, as a matter of policy, does not give samples of moon rock to private individuals. So it even begs the question of why, at that time when the lunar samples had only themselves been brought back to Earth relatively recently, why NASA would even have thought about giving a piece of moon rock to a relatively unimportant individual. Yes. At that time, not to denigrate the man, but someone who was in the world scheme of things at that time not particularly important. So for a start, this raises a question. And in fact, I don't know if you've seen a picture of the sample.
Yes.
Itself
looks like petrified wood.
It does,
article
exactly.
I read said it was.
Yeah, it is. This is what they've determined that it is, and it does. It looks like a piece of petrified wood, and it doesn't look like any lunar sample you have ever seen. I mean, the colour's all wrong for a start. It's it's quite an orangey brown colour, and I don't know about you, but I haven't yet seen a sample of moon rock that that has that colour. Yes, that's right.
Yes, so, yes. In fact, they do have some samples of moon rock on display, and they are legitimate ones in Holland.
Yes, they're at Leiden at the Museum of I'll get this right in a minute. I think it's Medical Technology and Science or something like that, but it's a major museum in Leiden. And those are the Apollo 11 sample and the Friendship Rock sample from Apollo 17. Australia has also one of these small Apollo 11 samples and the Friendship Rock sample from Apollo 17. And if people are wondering where they are, the Apollo 11 sample is actually on display at the moment at the Australian Archives in an exhibition they have there of treasures from the archives. The Apollo 17 sample is in the collection of the National Museum of Australia, but it's not currently on display, unfortunately. But they're both quite small samples, but the Tidbinbilla Tracking Stations Visitor Centre and at the Powerhouse, we both have samples that are actually somewhat larger than the official samples.
Yes, but there's no touchstones here in Australia, are there?
No. There's only the one of those which I know of, which is at the National Air and Space Museum. Yeah. Yes, I don't even think
there's another one put on display in Mexico.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that's interesting. That's something
and I've heard of one other, but I couldn't say now where it is.
But certainly, there are very few that are actual touch pieces. But again, they don't look like a piece of petrified wood. And it's interesting, in discussions with colleagues, had some email discussions going around the world on this one, obviously, and somebody suggested that perhaps because the astronauts were training, did some of their lunar training in Arizona, which is a location where a lot of petrified wood is found, perhaps because the actual plaque, which is on this mounted piece of stone, says, given to Prime Minister Dries or whatever it was on the occasion of the visit of the Apollo 11 astronauts in 1969. So after the Apollo 11 mission, of course, the astronauts went on a series of goodwill tours around the world, and they did visit the Netherlands, and it appears that that's when this supposed lunar sample was given to to the former Prime Minister. And my, you know, as I say, talking with some of my colleagues about this, that the suggestion was that perhaps this was a piece of petrified wood from one of the areas where the astronauts had been training, and that's the context in which it was mounted and presented to Dries as a gift from the US ambassador at the time. And then, because it doesn't say anywhere on this that it is a piece of moon rock, it only says that it was presented on the occasion of the visit of the Apollo 11 crew. And I myself think that what's happened is that after Dries has passed away, his material went to the Rijksmuseum, which is the national museum in the Netherlands. And because it's primarily an art museum, they didn't have a geologist on staff or anybody particularly familiar with either geology or space matters. And, you know, whoever the person was that did the cataloguing for the collection when it's come in has simply seen, Apollo 11, this is a piece of rock, it must be a moon rock. And myself, I think that's where the error has actually come in, that it's been misidentified when it's come into the collection of the Rijksmuseum, and they simply haven't had anybody on, you know, on their own staff with the right you know, knowledge to recognise that it's not a piece of moon rock.
That must be a large part of your job, is making sure that all your artefacts are genuine and tracing their lineage or heritage, what do you call it?
Yes, yeah. I mean, you know, in any curatorial area, that is part of what you know, a curator's role is, making sure that the material you have is what it purports to be. You know, is genuine material, and that its ownership or its custody can be traced back to its origins. It's quite an important thing these days with space material, because, again, with the fall of you know, the fall of the Soviet Union and the breakup, there was a lot of material which, frankly, you know, people just appropriated for themselves and have since put up for sale on in auctions and so forth, where they never had any legal right or title to that material. So there's a lot of Russian or ex-Soviet artefacts out on the collector's market, which have very dubious origins. And in fact, I several years ago was asked to look at an artefact that someone had bought, having been told it was Yuri Gagarin's helmet from his first flight. And it was nothing of the sort. It was the helmet for a standard Soviet fighter pilot's pressure suit, high altitude pressure suit. But this guy didn't know. And I don't know if he'd bought it on eBay. I can't remember the whole details about it now. But you know, he'd bought this under the assumption that it was a very historic piece of equipment, and of course, it had nothing whatsoever to do with Gagarin.
Okay. Where is the Powerhouse Museum, and how can people visit it?
Okay, Powerhouse Museum is, of course, in Sydney. It's in the Darling Harbour area. So if you're familiar with Sydney, Darling Harbour is very close to the central business district. It's right in the heart of the city. And the Powerhouse is pretty easy to get to. You can walk there from Central Station. You can get the monorail that runs around the inner city. It's also... there's a bus that services it as well, so that it's not too hard to get there.
And the entry charge to the museum?
Yes, there is an entry charge to the museum. Of course, once you enter, everything except some special exhibitions are free. But you know, all the regular exhibitions, the normal permanent displays, are all incorporated in the entry charge.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Space Show, Kerry.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.